2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, we are often taught to believe that bad habits are easily identified, like, you know, biting your nails, picking your nose, eating with your mouth open, all those kinds of things. But what about, like, being late or procrastinating, self-sabotage? Are they just bad habits too? And if so, can we cut them out like you would, say, cutting out too many coffees, for example? Well, Patrick Walsh is a behavioural psychologist and he is here now to talk about identifying bad habit patterns.
You just named out three of my baddest habits. Drinking too much coffee, biting my nails and being a bit of a dilly-dallier.
They're probably some of my worst ones as well.
Yeah.
I would say the picking of the skin around the nails is up there as my worst habit, to the point that I've tried so hard to break it by, I would have moisturizer, hand moisturizer on my desk in work. I tried to keep a cuticle oil in the car. Anywhere where I could potentially be sitting idle, I try to have something and I still can't stop.
There's a bit of an amateur behaviour scientist about you here. That's really good. Yeah, yeah, you're trying to do the right things to change a habit.
Am I?
Yeah, we'll break it down as we go through this. But yeah, it's a really good start.
Okay, that's great. Good. I'm delighted to hear that. Okay, so let's start at the very beginning. Behavioural psychology, like, it's kind of all about habits, I suppose. So tell me exactly what it is, explain it to me, break it down.
I remember when I started studying psychology, I read a quote that said, a science of human behavior, of why we do things. I mean, who could resist that? Who could say no to that? And I'm that person. I'm really curious about why we do the things that we do. And that curiosity and that compassion, knowing that, like I just said to you there, nobody is perfect. We're not there to judge. We're there to understand. And we know very little. Like, if you think, take psychology as a discipline, it's only about 150 years old. It's when philosophy and medical science came together and they go, let's try and understand the human mind and human behavior in a scientific way. Before that, it was kind of guided by religion and philosophy and telling us what should or we shouldn't do. But, you know, this whole idea of psychology is only about 100, 150 years old. So that's interesting in itself. And the job of a behavioural psychologist is wide and varied. It's so wide and varied. It's really, if anyone's thinking about psychology as a career, I would say, you know, even if it's not to become a psychologist, even if you're, you know, a teacher, we do a lot of work with teachers in the Actualize Academy. Actualizeacademy.com, we have EPV courses for teachers, and lots of teachers are really in tune with human behavior. But I work with hairdressers who are like amateur counselors. There's so many people out there who are really intrigued by human behavior, and habits are one of those things that are particularly intriguing, because what they do, habits simplify our life down. So I'm here to bang the drum of good habits and of saying, you know what, habits can be really good for us and they're important. And much of the PR around habits is around bad habits. But habits, our brains love habits.
How can you tell the difference between what's a good habit and a bad habit?
Well, remember, psychology is not about judging what's a good habit and a bad habit.
Okay.
It's all personal. It's all personal to you. Okay. So, for instance, like, you know, one of the things is when somebody says, I want to change something, the very, very, very first question that anyone who is working in psychology should ask is, why? Why do you want to change this? Why is this important? What is important to you? So you said you wanted to stop biting your nails, for instance, right? I would say, why do you want to do that? Why is that important to you?
Because it looks bad and people judge you first.
And you know, then I'd ask, well, why is that important to you? And you would get into a point where you might talk about your values. So here's one of the things I do. I said to you, I bite my nails, okay? And one of the things that you will, that about habit is that it becomes automatic, okay? So a habit is formed by three things. There is a reminder, there is the actual routine itself, which in this case is biting your nails, and then there is the reward, which is perhaps the feeling, or it could be the reward, or it could be the avoidance of some kind of discomfort. And we'll come to that later on, okay? But you're focusing on the reminder. You're saying, I'm going to try and interrupt the thing. So if I'm stuck in traffic, I'm going to bite my nails. I need to have something that interrupts that routine. So I'm going to put on some moisturizer that tastes a little bit different, right? That's what you're thinking. And that's interrupting that automatic routine, which is quite clever because a habit is something that our brain says, I don't want to have to think about this anymore. How often do you think about changing gears in the car? Or how often do you think about how you brush your teeth? We don't do this because our brain is like, I've so many things to think about today. This is an automatic thing that I do. The problem is when it becomes a bad habit where we're interacting with somebody and we respond in a way that probably isn't great or doesn't fit with our values, or we're biting our nails as a way to respond to boredom or anxiety or whatever. And we want to change that. We have to take it from automatic, something that we're not aware of, to something that we are aware of. And you're trying to do that with moisturizer and you're saying, oh my goodness, hold on a second. I taste this moisturizer. I made a decision. I don't want to do this. One of my things actually since COVID is there's a lot of Zoom calls. And do you know what's really disconcerting? When you're on a Zoom call and you can see your own face and you look at yourself and you go, oh my God, I'm biting my nails right now. I need to stop on a Zoom call.
And so you can see yourself doing it.
You can see yourself doing it. And that becomes the, oh, this is a habit. I need to stop doing that.
But then, like, I would think that that's something you've developed over time as either a coping mechanism or something to distract the mind. But what about things like being late? Or are they just things that are ingrained in us? Or is that something that I can stop doing?
One of the beauties of human behavior, one of the really annoying things for people, and one of the wonders is that we are very, very complex. Human beings are wonderfully complex, beautiful, flawed species. OK, so things like being late. I mentioned to you that I'm a recovering procrastinator or, a reformed dilly dallier. And these are things that can happen. And actually, before I was coming in here, I text a WhatsApp group that I train with and I said, I'm going in to give some advice about being late. And they go, you are not the person to be giving advice about turning up to a training on time. But one of the interesting studies that came out about being late was that people who can be late overestimate their ability. So they're overly optimistic. So they might plan too many things. So, you know, when you're saying, oh, I'm going to go in and I'm going to meet people in town or I'm going to get to another place, you overestimate your ability to do all of these things because you're overly, because potentially you're overly optimistic.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, putting these reminders in place for yourself becomes really important. And rather than being an optimist about these things, being a bit of a realist and saying, well, actually, do you know what? There are traffic jams that might crop up. There are delays that may occur. I need to make a better plan around this and become a little bit less optimistic. That's always a good thing when you're finding yourself being late a bit more often.
I think that's a really good piece of advice. I never looked at it like that. I'm definitely somebody who is overly optimistic about how much I can accomplish in a day.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think I find it hard to say no to certain things. And then you end up squeezing your day with 10 million different things. And people think that you're late for everything, but you've actually probably just been overly optimistic with your time.
And one of the things that helped me tune into, actually, do you know what? This is okay for certain things, you know, like a social event. Our training, sorry guys. But when it comes to stuff like work, when it comes to stuff like family stuff, it's too close to my values to not be late. So if I'm bringing my children to training, they're not going to be late because that's close to my values. Or work is really important to me, so I'm not going to be late for that.
Okay.
But something like, I'm going to meet Lottie for a coffee. Oh,
why is that not close to your values?
Well, you know, it's meant to be fun. And also our relationship might be, well, I know she's going to be late,
yeah,
so I'm
exactly.
going to be late, right? So it can turn into an arms race almost. But those things are important to tune into, that they can become habitual. And you said, should I change it? Is it a right thing or a wrong thing? Well, it comes back to reflection and saying, well, what's important to you? You know, let's take the example of me being late for coffee with you, right? And it turned out that one day you said, you know what, this really is really annoying me because I'm now starting to think of you as being selfish around this. Your time isn't more valuable than mine, Porrig. That would shift my approach to this.
Okay.
That would mean that, okay, I need to actually change this. So it is important now to change it. You with me?
But then how do you change it?
So then this is easy because we said that a habit has a reminder, a routine and a reward. And the reward is I'm staying true to my values or I am not being late and that's important to me. But the reminders become important. So for instance, you might add in an extra 10 minutes for you. I live and die by my electronic calendar. And you can put in an extra 10 minutes for yourself to leave. So the reminders are there for you. You can start to get yourself a little bit better prepared. You can prioritize things more. I used to say, I had no time to do that. And I've reframed it to say, I just didn't prioritize this thing. You know?
So it's a completely different way of looking at it, isn't it?
It's a totally different way, but it's a more honest way. And it's saying, look, I really want to be fit or I want to be social, but certain times I just can't prioritize that because I have other things on. And at least you're being honest around it.
But also, say things like that, like being fit or trying to be social, like those kind of habits, they serve an important purpose. Like it's good for you.
It is.
So how can you decide that that's something that needs to get priority and that that's something you need to decide? I need to focus on that as being a habit.
Yeah, sometimes we can, Friday nights we can get stuck. You know, sometimes it's nice to just stay in and watch the movie.
It's your comfort zone.
It's your comfort zone. And change can be uncomfortable. Rule 101 of psychology, Lottie, is that in order for us to change, to experience change, it's going to be uncomfortable. Okay? If we're trying to get fit or to, you know, lose weight or build muscle, just on a physical sense, we're going to be uncomfortable at the start because you're going to be sweaty, you're going to feel achy and painy. But then in the long term, your body is going to change, or your health is going to change at least. It's the same with our behavior and our psychology. We're trying to reroute neural pathways in our brain, change habits, engage in different behaviors. That's uncomfortable. Our brain loves habit. Remember that. Our brain loves to have a habit because it's easy. But we're saying, well, we want to change this in our brain. I was like, no, we like this thing, even if it's a bad habit. So when we're trying to change, let's say, staying in of a Friday evening, we have to reevaluate. Am I staying in because I actually want to? So there's times where I'll stay in. Now, tonight is not one of those nights. Tonight I'm going to see I'm going to Vicar Street to see Cormac Begley and Liam O'Connor.
You're not going to Pitbull?
I'm not going to Pitbull. I'm going to two of the music and fashion icons of Irish traditional music tonight, right? But quite often, staying in for Friday night is something that I will do. I'll stay in and I will know that there's a reason for it. I'm either getting up on Saturday morning or there is something purposeful that I'm trying to achieve, right? Not necessarily achieve, but the problems crop up.
What if the reason is I'm
avoiding?
I get really uncomfortable in social situations and I'm not putting myself out there.
You took the words right out of my mouth. There is definitely an amateur behavioral psychologist in here, Lottie, right? So when you think about the reward, the routine, the ritual and the reward. The reward can be multifaceted. It can be lots of different things, but predominantly it's a positive reward, which is like I'm getting something nice, I'm getting a nice feeling, I'm achieving something, I'm staying close to my values, or it can be that I'm avoiding something. And that's where it can get a little bit tricky. So if you're staying in and you're saying, I'm staying in because I don't like the awkwardness of social interactions, or I just don't like the hassle, or I don't like the discomfort. And I'm restricting myself, not because I want to achieve something, but because I want to avoid discomfort or negative things. That's where it becomes a difficulty. That's where we have to challenge ourselves to,
How?
Well, it's firstly trying to understand what your values are. Maybe you just don't want to go out and meet with other people, and that's absolutely fine. Like I said, we're all different, but tuning into what it is that's important to you becomes, like, if you want to stay in and watch the same movie, I do it all the time, that's absolutely fine, but that it fits okay with you. The image that we don't, that can be discomforting is somebody who's staying at home but really wants to do another thing. They're kind of going, I would like to get out there, but there is some hurdle in front of me that is making it difficult. Now, if you are trying to get back out, if let's say you're trying to maybe exercise more, or you're trying to get out socially again, what would be the, if I said to you, Lottie, I want to run couch to 5K, and you were my coach, you would say, start small, start slow, start manageable, and be kind to yourself as you're doing it. And that's how we would approach changing a habit. You would start small. In fact, I have a colleague who will say, start embarrassingly small. Start embarrassingly small, you know, so much so that you wouldn't even tell others that you're trying to change or trying to make a difference in your life. So starting small, being forgiving. So I mentioned to you before that I would like to be, I'm curious about psychology, but I'm also compassionate because, you know, we are all on this journey together as human beings. None of us are perfect whatsoever, but we'll all have our hopes and our dreams and want to change and go through that struggle ourselves. So when you're doing it to yourself, our own worst critic can often be ourselves. So you just got to start small. Think about it like a physical challenge, except instead of that, you're trying to change your behavior, change your habits, change the way you go about approaching
it. It's an interesting way of looking at it because I think I would always get slagged terribly by my siblings for my lack of enjoying social occasions.
Oh, really?
And I'm not a good social person.
Yeah.
So I would always choose to stay in over a social event. However, since I became a parent, I feel it's very important for me to model a behavior of being social because I don't want him to see me. I don't want him to see that. I want him to see a social parent and I don't want to pass that on.
So you're the parent who comes up to me in the playground and starts conversation.
That's not me.
Oh, no.
That's absolutely not me. I can guarantee you.
Which is great and which can be really good for us because quite often it can be nice. Even small talk in small doses, Lottie, is actually quite good for us, whether we like it or not. And we can all cringe at it, but it does evoke a different feeling within us, you know, and that can be like walking the dog or standing in the playground. But you've tried to change that habit, not because of something for yourself, and it goes back to your values. And your values are, what's my why? This is uncomfortable. I don't particularly enjoy it, but the reason I'm doing it, which you've tuned into, because look at parenthood, you reevaluate everything in your life. When you become a parent, you say, I want my child to see me being a social person and I'd like them to model that. And that can come down to things like driving behavior. You know, people, you know, if somebody beeps a horn at you, that can be, I often try to reframe that straight away going, oh, that's a really nice thing for them to do, even if they're being incredibly aggressive.
Fair play,
right?
To you. I think there's very few people who can do that.
Now, sometimes it doesn't work. Let's be honest. Sometimes it doesn't work, right? But particularly if my kids are in the car. Now, if I'm in the car by myself and I'm having a bad day, that might be different. But like you said, if you are trying, your why is, well, what am I trying to model here? What do I want my kids to see? What do I want others to think of me? And why is it important for me to try and change this habit? And, you know, reframing things that, oh, look, that's a really helpful reminder they've given me. Or that's very kind from them. Even though if you know it isn't, it is just a way to help.
Reframing.
Completely reframing.
And coming back to values. I think I try to sometimes say, oh, that poor person must be having a really terrible day and my day isn't as terrible. And just try to reframe it in that way. But I just find the whole thing absolutely fascinating. And I think it's important for all of us to kind of do a little bit of self-reflection on our habits. And I'm definitely taking from this to look at what my value system is.
Yeah.
And try to not bite my nails quite so much, Pádraic. That's the plan. So thank you so much for coming in to us. That is psychologist Pádraic Walsh. And yeah, I think I might have to take up a course or something.
Keep going with the moisturizer. You're onto something there.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.